This is a podcast from Deutsche Welle. For more information and a selection of other programs, click on to dwworld.de.
Even if you've never been to the British capital, you've probably seen those iconic black London cabs in films or on TV. Now, even though most cab drivers in other parts of the world rely on their own brain and on GPS navigation devices, London cab drivers have almost superhuman powers. Becoming a cab driver here means memorizing all of the sightseeing destinations the city has to offer, plus the names and locations of 25,000 streets within a 9.6-kilometer radius of King's Cross Station. In fact, this is so unusual that London cabbies give this a special name, the knowledge. It takes as long as 4 years to acquire the knowledge, and only about half of the people who undertake the training actually become cab drivers. But in a new study published earlier this month, British scientists have shown that those who do pass don't just get a license to drive a cab. They also gain brain volume. So I rang up Eleanor Maguire, a professor of neurology at the University College London and the lead author on the new paper, to learn more.
So why is looking at the brains of people who are trying to become taxi drivers particularly interesting to a neuroscientist?
Well, it's interesting to us because we're interested, my interest is in how people find their way around and how they remember the things that happened to them along the way. So I'm generally interested in space and in memory. And we know that the brain area that helps to support navigation and certain kinds of memory is a brain region called the hippocampus. And we know from animal work that the hippocampus in animals who do a lot of navigating shows structural changes compared to those who don't navigate so much. So our motivation is really to see if we can see the same effects in humans who depend a lot on navigation. And from that, we can learn much more about this very critical brain structure that helps us to remember where we are and what happened to us.
So you're trying to basically look at what happens to the brain when it is forced to learn something very, very complicated like the city streets of London over a period of a few years.
Exactly. So we wanted to see if within these individuals who engaged in this training, whether we could see a change in their brain when we compared their brains at the start of the training to when they completed the training 3 to 4 years later. So if the training and if the, you know, the learning this very complex mental map of London drove changes in their brain, then we should be able to see a change in areas like the hippocampus before and after training.
And did you actually find a change?
We did. We ended up with three groups of people. We ended up with people who did the training and qualified as taxi drivers.
So people who started from zero and acquired the knowledge and became cab drivers.
Exactly. And then we had another group who did the training but who didn't manage to qualify. And then we had a third group of participants who were control participants. So these were sort of a baseline, people who didn't engage in any training, but we still scanned their brains at the start and the end of the project as well. And what we found was that only in the people who qualified, so who were successful at acquiring the knowledge, only in those individuals did we see a change in their brain before, you know, when we compared their situation after training with how they started off initially. And that change was very specifically in the hippocampus.
And so does that mean when you said that you observed a change in the hippocampus, does that mean that the hippocampus was larger or how did it change exactly?
Well, we found that part of the hippocampus, the back part or the posterior part of the hippocampus, showed greater gray matter volume in those who qualified. So the back part of this brain structure actually increased in size compared to the other groups who showed no change anywhere in their brains, including the hippocampus.
So it actually increased in volume or density?
Well, it's very difficult for us to be specific. We're looking at MRI scans. We're not looking at a sort of cellular sort of level. So what we measure is the volume of the brain region, and we find that the volume in this part, the gray matter volume specifically, increased in those who qualified.
So I guess that's a proxy for increased neural connections or pathways. I don't know what the proper terminology is, but...
Well, it's interesting to speculate. As I said, we are quite constrained by our MRI technology at the moment. I mean, it's really good, but obviously we're not able to see at the cellular level. So we can speculate that maybe, you know, what we're looking at here is the birth of new neurons. The hippocampus is known to be able to produce new neurons, so maybe these nerve cells get recruited or hijacked by this intense spatial learning, and then that is manifested at our level in an increase in volume. Or it could be that the neurons that are there just increase their connectivity. And again, that would be a plausible possibility. Or it may be that both of these processes take place.
All right. Well, Professor Eleanor Maguire, I really appreciate your time and best of luck in your future research.
Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to a podcast from Deutsche Welle. We hope you enjoyed the program. You'll find more information and podcasts at dwworld.de.